Good morning, and announcements as we get going here. Remember that there's the great town hall going on at church on Sunday, so if you're local, come be part of the conversation, hear what's going on. There are directory pictures coming up, so look online through all the different availabilities there to be part of that directory. We've got our great Community Players Theater show coming up on Saturday and Sunday, so check out the links around for tickets there. You can find all the info on Facebook or the website or the e-news, all those good things. And then, of course, tonight, CLC Together, and then this morning for the morning Bible studies as well. So come see what it's like learning together in God's Word. And with that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray that you guide our time in your Word as we continue to hear Paul's words for us, those under the law, those who don't even know they're under the law, all of them, Lord, our mouths are stopped by your word. And so let your word reign in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so continuing on here at verse 9 in Romans, and Pastor Bob was walking through last time what advantage the Jews had as we've been seeing where humanity stands before God on account of his word and his expectation and his law. And so far, we're finding out that no one's righteous. Those that didn't know the law existed, not righteous. Those who knew the law existed and had the advantage, as Pastor Bob walked through last time. And now Paul says, you know, they had every bit. They knew who this God was and they had his word. And yet, we get to verse 9. What then? Are the Jews, those who had the advantage, any better off? Nope, not at all. Think about what that's like. I mean, what kind of situations in life have you had the advantage in some way, and were you better off? I think through just kind of looking around the world and look at all of the conveniences that we have in this wonderful country that we live in, and are we better off? I don't know. In some ways, maybe. But in other ways, I mean, there's a lot of struggle that goes on internally. I mean, we have a society where suicidal rates are absolutely off the charts. We have this propensity as a people to self-medicate and try and get away from certain stresses and not know how to handle them. And there's so many advantages. We have so much, and yet we're not necessarily better off for it all the time. I'm thankful for the advantages we have, but I don't know that everybody really gets to see them for the joys that they are. I wonder if that's something about kind of how Paul was seeing these people of God. They had every advantage, but they weren't better off. And he includes himself in that. It's not just a societal view of something or this perspective that he's having. He's watching in other people. He says, are we Jews any better off because we had the advantage? We had God's word. And he says, no, not at all, actually. So let's keep going. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. And now we get Paul's summary. He goes to scriptures, right? We're going to get a run through what we would call the Old Testament, what Paul would have called the scriptures, God's word, God's law, the law, the prophets, and the wisdom books, right? So everything that God had written and handed to his people years and years and years prior, the collection of the scriptures, the Torah and everything else that God's people would have lived by and known they were God's people by. He starts walking through there to say, well, let's see what God's word says, right? He says, so, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, thanks, Paul, for the cheery view of humanity, and thanks, God, for pointing out with such accuracy the heart of man. Man, but this is how we are spoken about in God's word, and how God's people are spoken about in his very own word. These people that he has selected and picked out, these people that he has chosen to be his people, these people that he has promised a savior to come through, and he says, here's your state on your own. You're not doing it. Even though you've got me as your God, even though you've got me as all these things, you're not holding up. And so this is not one cohesive set of verses. This is bits and snippets from throughout the Psalms, and I think one from Isaiah, if I remember the references right. But he's just rolling through the Psalms and rolling through these words of God written down to point to the heart of man. And it's ugly. I mean, we walked through Ecclesiastes not long ago, and we saw what it looked like with life under the sun. And, you know, to those who knew who God was and those who don't know who God is, life under the sun's looking pretty ugly, because it's the heart of man that is corrupted, not just the heart of the Greeks or the heart of the Jews, but the heart of humanity is corrupted and under sin. And so, no, not even one is able to be righteous before God. None of us born in this creation and under this curse of sin that Adam brought into the world, right? It's just where we're at. Now, we need something to lift us from it. We're going to get there because Friday, right? Paul starts with, but. Okay, that's going to be the change. So we're wrapping up the argument here for Paul. We're bringing it all to a summary. And the summary is pretty much verse 10. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. That's where we end up. When we're looking to ourselves, whether it's through a religious system or in the absence of a religious system, when we look to ourselves to be able to do the right things to make ourselves righteous before God, no one is able. Nobody, not one. On our own, it's where we land. It's here, Paul's last verses here. I'm picking up at verse 19. Now we know. That whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. This is where the law leaves us. It leaves us condemned. It leaves us in despair. It leaves us at a point seeing that we are not righteous, no, not even one, not as hard as we could try, nothing. We're left with nothing. And that's where the verses end. That's where I'm supposed to leave you, is with nothing. But I can't. I mean, as much as we want to just stick within these verses, I've got to give you something to go on in the day by, right? You know the end of the story here. You know that from within yourself, you have nothing to offer God, because there is no righteousness that's there, but there is a righteousness that comes from someone else and from somewhere else. And that's what we're going to really get to focus in on Friday. But know that in this day, in your baptism, your heart has been changed. Your heart has a different perspective on the world. Your heart has a different perspective on the neighbor. Now, it is still being attacked by that corruption of sin, and we still see that corruption of sin in our life, and we know that even within ourselves, we do the things that do not bring us righteousness before God, but God works through us by his hand for the good of our neighbor and has worked through others for our good so that we would know that though we are left under the condemnation of the law, we also have been given one who is the fulfillment of the law on our behalf, right? We've been given Jesus so that those who are under the law, as far as the Jews were concerned when Paul was talking about that, and those who were not under the law, as far as the Greeks were concerned, we now have had our eyes open to that law condemning absolutely everybody, and we know that we are sinful because of this law. And in this accusation, we sit with nothing to be able to offer God except for empty hands. And he says, here's what I put into your empty hands, my son. I will put his righteousness in your empty hands. I will put my grace through him and forgiveness in your empty hands on account of Christ. And because of what he has done to fulfill the law on our behalf, God then sees us as righteous. So it's not through the law that we are righteous before God. No, through the law, we see our sinfulness and we see it daily. But in the fulfillment of the law in Christ, we have God's grace and we have his righteousness. And because of that, we then are able to do things through the law for the good of our neighbor, not to prove ourselves to God, but so that we can hand over God's good things to our neighbor as well. As God then guides us through that law to say, here's how you live for the one next to you. Here's how you care for the one next to you. Here's how you honor me and take care of your neighbor, the one in your household, the one in your friend group, the one in your family, the one who lives next door to you. Here's what it looks like to live as my people now that I've made you my people again. And the beautiful part about Christ is that this whole conversation beforehand with Jews or Greeks or any of those, God says, look, there were those that I selected out as my people, these Judeans, these ones who would be the ones that my seed would come from, that my Savior would come from, that my Messiah that I would send to my creation would come from. He said, but now that that Messiah has come, he says, now, because of him, it doesn't matter the lineage. It doesn't matter the ethnic background. It doesn't matter the culture that you're raised up in, because Jesus is for you. For you who know your sin on account of the law, he's for you. For you who has no idea what this law thing is all about, here's Jesus for you, right? And so the summation of Paul is that Jew or Greek, no one is any better off before God on account of the law. In fact, on account of the law, we see our sin clearly, accurately, and it should break us. And it does. We feel it. Yet also, he has sent one who has fulfilled that law on our behalf and has lived perfectly on our behalf. And that gift to you is Jesus. He's the one that hands you his righteousness. He's the one that hands you his forgiveness. He's the one that hands you grace, and he's the one that changes your heart to have a different perspective on the world so that you would not feel the need to prove yourself before God, but that you could hand over the goodness of God to your neighbor, knowing that God has done all things for you in Christ. And so it's in his name that we will pray. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger. Pray that you would keep us this day also from sin and all evil, that all our doings in life would be pleasing to you. For into your hands we give ourselves, bodies, souls, all things. Let your holy angel be with us, that the evil foe Satan may have no power over us. Amen. God bless you and keep you today. And as always, if you're walking through stuff, reach out. We'd love to walk through it with you.